It is often not noticed that Mary is all throughout the New Testament. In part, perhaps, because she doesn't say a lot. And the question is, did she say a lot and it didn't get recorded because of sexism? Yes, probably. Also, it may have been that she was one who didn't speak up a lot. But she's there, and the record shows us that she's there. And that's the interesting thing. She's there at various points throughout the life and ministry of Jesus when you take all of the Gospels together. And then when you look in the book of Acts, she's there at Pentecost. She's consistently present throughout. And so one of the interesting things about that is that in the Eastern tradition, they have noticed this. So a story emerged that she was so of such importance that when she lay down to die, and there's theological debate about whether she actually died or was assumed into heaven or fell asleep. There's a lot of different words that are used for this event. But anyway, when this event happens, the story in the East is that the apostles were all told by the Spirit in some way, and they all came to her deathbed. So that the story is that all the apostles were there. And I think that that story emerged by people carefully reading the text and realizing that she was there throughout. That she was an important figure in Jesus' ministry and in the life of the church. And that's significant. And that's a point that I think sometimes got lost in the Reformation and all the argument and counter-argument around Mary. And it's unfortunate that we lost that moment. We lost that awareness of her presence throughout the story. It's fascinating to me, in John's gospel, Mary appears only twice. She appears at this wedding scene, and she appears at the crucifixion. Really interesting that those are the only two places in John where she appears. But you have to tie that to the fact that John uses the word grace only four times. In the hymn that begins the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Without him, through him all things were made, and without him was nothing made that has been made, etc., etc., etc. That long hymn includes the word grace four times. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace is one of the best lines in that hymn. And I think what happens is that the whole rest of the gospel is what grace looks like, how grace is experienced. All the stories of the gospel are that way, and it's significant that it starts with his mother and her spiritual intuition that he should do something. And that he should do something at a celebration. At a celebration about people connecting significantly with each other. A wedding. And at this celebration that she expects him, pushes him actually, to do an act of abundance. A moment of grace. Turn the water into wine. I think that's all significant. It fits right in with the idea that the whole Gospel of John is a series of stories and assertions about what the grace that it talks about in the opening hymn is, what it looks like and what it tastes like and what it feels like. Grace tastes like the best wine showing up at a surprising moment. There's a definition of grace for you, right? And that definition wouldn't be ours if it weren't for Mary, who must have, not only because of what she heard her son say, but because of her own experiences, understood grace in a special way. And then, of course, in classic John fashion, you know, she says to Jesus, they've run out of wine, do something. And he says, it's not my hour, right? And his hour throughout the Gospel of John is always the crucifixion. So there's this foreshadowing thing going on, right? And so it happens that he says that to Mary, and then she shows up again at the end at his crucifixion. And we get to see, again, Jesus being concerned with grace, even on the cross. John, take care of my mother. She's your mother now. Mother, he's your son now. That moment of grace and concern helps us see that the whole crucifixion event is about grace and concern. Just as surely as Jesus says to Mary, John's your new son, he's going to take care of you, and says to John, she's your mother now. Jesus says to humanity, God's your father now. He's taking care of you. Father, they're your children now. You're taking care of them. The meaning gets unfolded even more. And that meaning gets unfolded again and again and again throughout the Gospels, throughout the Gospel of John. It's always the meaning of grace. It's always the abundance of God's love unfolded perpetually for us. And Mary is often involved. She's mentioned at his birth. She's part of his birth. She's the ability for his birth to happen. She's mentioned at the wedding. She's mentioned at the crucifixion. She's mentioned in various other times throughout the Gospels. She's there at Pentecost when the Spirit, an act of grace, descends. She's there. Is it any wonder we say, Hail Mary, full of grace? Is it any wonder? Where's the grace in your life? How does Mary remind you to see it, to look for it, to hear it, to feel it, to taste it? It's good reason that we say, Hail Mary, full of grace.